Week 22. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. Monday morning, Adam Azer with Scott White and Al Melchior. Oh my goodness, who did you pick up this weekend?
I picked up Carlos Beltran after talking about him for the last two, 3 weeks about how he's the outfielder pickup. Finally went and did it in our podcast league.
Good for you. Outfielder league.
Yes.
Scott?
Proud of you, Al. Proud of you.
Proud of myself.
Let's be proud of Scott. Who'd Scott pick up?
I picked up Aaron Nola. Let me see who else. I made a play for Gene Machi in a deep league, but that's the only format I'd go for him, even though he is now the clear closer in Boston.
And I did the same.
Well, how about that?
I mean, Raisel Iglesias, I looked to pick him up, but he was already owned in most of my leagues.
Yes, I bid $5 on him of my 15 remaining fab dollars in our one of the roto leagues we're in. He needs to be owned, that Raisel Iglesias. He's like 71% owned. He was one of the most added players on Friday. We debated Medlin or Iglesias. So I'll re-ask the question. Medlin or Iglesias?
Iglesias.
It's Iglesias. Straight out. Though he does face an innings limit. Brian Price is not being forthcoming in what that innings limit is, I'm guessing, because that wouldn't help the Reds, but that's a joke. I don't know if it's over everyone's head. But he probably won't last all of September, but I think based on the way his last two starts have gone, on the way he's progressed all season, you'll be satisfied of what he gives you in the meantime.
Iglesias is striking out a lot of guys, 87 on the season and 80 and a third, and in his last start, 10 strikeouts in 7 innings at the Brewers. And, I think we should start playing it week by week, give people some starter sit advice mostly. So Iglesias is at the Cubs this week. That could be a 15 strikeout game.
Mm-hmm.
And Medlin is against the White Sox. Now, they're both RP eligible. But separately, I mean, would you start Medlin against the White Sox and or Iglesias at the Cubs this week? Do you trust them enough in your fantasy playoffs or down the stretch in Roto?
Iglesias, I absolutely do. Medlin, that is a dilemma that I have in the podcast league this week, and I still don't know which way I'm going to go with that. So that by definition makes him borderline.
I picked up Jake Arrieta after last night's game.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
In your two-team league?
Playing solo?
He was in half my leagues.
Yeah.
He is really good. In fact, he's the number one fantasy pitcher in Roto and number two in points right now. With a 2.11 ERA, 17 wins, 190 strikeout in 183 innings, and a .94 whip. And he just no-hit the Dodgers, who have set a National League record by being no-hit twice in 10 days. Here's my question to you. Two questions.
Okay.
One's obvious. Where's Jake Arrieta going next year? And two, who is next year's Jake Arrieta?
I'm predicting the third round for Arrieta next year as part of a big run on starting pitchers with, like, Madison Bumgarner and David Price and Corey Kluber. That's what I guess for Arrieta. I think he's... Yeah, we've talked a lot about how Jacob deGrom has ascended to that group, and Arrieta's been just as good. And in fact, in his last 14 starts, Adam, he has a 1.07 ERA.
Oh, wow. I think Kershaw has a lower ERA in his last, like, 11. Because I'll look that up. But he's in Kershaw territory with that.
But it's well established with Kershaw, and Arrieta, I think, may have slipped by people.
Yeah, he's awesome.
As for next year's Arrieta?
Yeah, like, who's going to be a guy that's a fifth-ish round pick this year? Next year, like, fifth round or so, that's going to emerge into one of the elites. Like, we saw glimpses of it this year. Next year, he totally is elite.
I've got an answer here. I'm going to say Sonny Gray. And the reason I say that is because this morning I did a little bit of research, because Arrieta, that great stretch that Scott talked about, he's got a super low BABIP. And I thought, okay, is there any way that this could be legitimate? Well, he's had really low BABIPs in each of the last three seasons. Now, 2 years ago, he wasn't that great. I sort of write that one off maybe as luck. But the last two seasons combined, there was only one qualifying starting pitcher who's in the has one of the four lowest BABIPs and one of the four lowest hard contact rates, and that is Jake Arrieta. And that puts him in a class with Johnny Cueto, who's right around that same neighborhood, and he's had low BABIPs year after year after year.
You mean Sonny Gray?
No, I haven't gotten to Sonny Gray yet.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So the point I'm getting to, obviously in way too long a time here, is that Arrieta is the new Johnny Cueto. Now, Sonny Gray, if he can just get more strikeouts, and I think he can, then becomes the new Jake Arrieta, because he profiles like Cueto and like Arrieta in that he doesn't give up a lot of hard contact. He does that consistently, and consistently much lower BABIPs than you would expect.
Scott, do you have any nominees?
I think like Noah Syndergaard would be a good choice. You know, I think Danny Salazar could take another big step forward, but I have a feeling he's going to be drafted even later this next year than Arrieta was this year. That's the thing about Arrieta. I mean, most people still had him as a top 20 starter coming into the year, so he was very close to being in that elite group. It wasn't like a big step forward he took.
Yeah.
Just a small one.
I was going to say Carlos Carrasco. I don't know where he gets drafted next year, but.
Yeah, I thought of him too.
Yeah. And Syndergaard was one of the names that came to mind as well. All right, Jake Arrieta is very good. Today on the show, we will look at a bunch of starting pitchers and whether or not you can trust them this week, including Steven Strasburg and Felix Hernandez. In fact, how about right now? Can you trust Steven Strasburg this week? He's got this back issue. And Felix Hernandez is having his start, which was supposed to be today, skipped. Is he going to get any starts this week?
I don't know about Felix. So I probably wouldn't start him, and I probably wouldn't start Strasburg either, unless there's some report between now and 7 p.m. Eastern that says that he's really, his condition's improved. Because they're saying it's similar to the back issues he had earlier in the year. I read a quote that he's got like a little ball in his upper back. That just doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound like the kind of thing that either he's going to be ready to come back from on regular rest, or that he's going to be effective if he does.
And Felix Hernandez, I thought he was going to be a two-start guy, so I figured he would get a one-start week. But we just don't know?
I don't know. And
you know, that sucks. I'm just going to go out and say it.
Well, I mean, in a way, it may kind of save you from yourself the way he's pitched recently.
Yeah.
Wasn't he awesome last time out?
It was one of his best starts in a while.
It was 8 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs. They might have both been homers. 1 walk and 7 strikeouts against the A's. And he's slated to pitch against the A's again this week.
But he had,
if he pitches,
he had a 7 inning 2 earned run start on August 9th and then followed that up with 10 earned runs and 2 and a third. So I'm not sure. As good as last start was, you can feel entirely comfortable with Felix Hernandez yet, injury or not.
Ugh.
Or, I mean, I guess he's not injured. They're just skipping him, right?
Right. Yeah, no, they're just giving.
Start or not.
Yeah, I mean, everybody at some point is probably going to have their turn skipped. I mean, I'm looking at what we have projected for him. We do have him projected to start on Saturday at Oakland, which is a nice matchup for sure. Yeah, I don't know. That's one, like, with Strasburg, I'm certainly going to be keeping my eye out on the news till the deadline to see, you know, if there's any, we can get a clarity on the situation. Cause I don't really want to sit either him or Strasburg if I don't have to, but I also don't want to take the risk of getting a zero, you know, down the stretch here if I can't be confident that they're going to start.
Yeah, tough call. And hopefully there'll be some more information later on in the day. We're going to talk also September call-ups and look at the most added and most dropped list. This email from Andrew in Kitchener, Ontario?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the email of the day at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. During my bachelor party this weekend, I agreed to do a shot of Jägermeister for every home run during the Toronto-Detroit game, with grand slams costing 3 shots. I've had a great bachelor party Saturday.
And a heck of a hangover on Sunday.
Yeah, that was Edwin Encarnacion day, and he did hit a grand slam. Wow, Edwin Encarnacion. Would you believe that during his 25-game hitting streak, he's not even the number one hitter in fantasy?
How is that possible?
Because Josh Donaldson and Nelson Cruz have actually hit more home runs than the 11 that Encarnacion has hit. And also, he has a lot fewer at-bats.
They have, really?
Yeah, I think he's hit 11
home runs in a 25-game stretch, and two people have outdone that?
12 and 13, I think, for those two guys.
Dang!
He has a 1,300 OPS, more than 1,300 in these 25 games, Encarnacion.
He's been insane, and suddenly his numbers look even better than last year's when, I was touting him as a first-round pick in fantasy. So
you mean going into this year you were?
Yeah, going into this year, based on last year's numbers, I was saying, oh, yeah, Encarnacion's a first-round pick, and I think it was just a week ago I was like, I'm not even sure he's a second-round pick. And I'm still not even sure he's a second-round pick. But
yeah, let's see what he does the next 5 weeks.
But if at the very least, I had Jose Abreu there at the end of the second round. I think Encarnacion's at least leapfrogged Abreu.
Just forecasting into next year, the problem with him is that he is always banged up.
Yeah, I know. But
even this year.
I mean, if you own Encarnacion right now, I don't think you're caring too much.
No, he's...
Yeah, he's been just fine the last few years.
So you start him this week, guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other big ad drops that you made over the weekend that you'd like to discuss?
Derek Dietrich's back in the ad territory because Christian Yelich's knee is apparently not up to code still. Even though he's back from the DL, he's missed the last four games and Dietrich's been starting in left. He homered Sunday.
Yelich pinch hit yesterday, just a heads up.
Yeah, well,
I
still feel good about adding Dietrich, at least in the Roto League.
Okay.
And he can, he can play third. He can't play second. I doubt he will. And you don't want D. Gordon out of the lineup anyway, so.
Anyone else?
Derek
Hollins.
Yeah, the guy I was really targeting was Chris Bassitt in the pitching column that I wrote on Friday. I said he was the only viable waiver option in most leagues with two starts, and they lost the second start.
Yeah,
so that stinks.
That sucks. Derek Hollins, 60% owned, and he's pitching great.
Oh, yeah.
That's who you, if you can still pick him up, that's who you want this week.
Would you rather have Holland or Iglesias?
I'd actually rather have Iglesias, but Holland, he has the Angels this week, right?
Yes,
the Angels. That's a really good matchup.
And he doesn't have an innings limit. In fact, his arm is so fresh, and the
and
Rangers
funky.
Are...
and so clean.
Yeah, and the Rangers are obviously fighting for their lives right now, so... They're going to ride him hard in September, which is a good thing probably for his fantasy owners.
Blow out his arm.
Yeah. How about Mike Fiers, 79% owned? He's just been pretty good for, 2 months or so? Mm-hmm. And Minnesota.
Fine after that no-hitter, 130-something pitches.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Minnesota this week. Would you start Fiers?
Fine against.
Oh, no, start him, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's not a slam dunk because he might have better two-start options, but I'd be okay starting him as a one-star guy.
Were there any call-ups? It's tomorrow, September, FYI. Were there any call-ups? Javier Baez, Hector Oliveira. I saw someone added Corey Seager. I wasn't sure what that was all about. Anybody that you think is coming up that needs to be added?
Baez for sure. I wouldn't say needs to be added, but in terms of the ones that you would prioritize, I put Baez at the top of the list. And I see on your list here you've got Eric Johnson, and I think among the pitchers, he's the one I think most likely to get a call up and to make an impact. I think Jose Berrios is a longer shot, but especially in the deeper league, he's worth the speculative pickup.
I've heard Robert Stevenson is a possibility. I mean, especially if Iglesias is approaching an innings limit, maybe Stevenson would take his place.
There's room in that rotation, I think, no matter what.
That's true. and Tyler Glasnow. It's no, right? Glasnow as opposed to Glasnow. It looks like Glasnow, but I think it's Glasnow.
It's Glasslater.
Glasslater, yeah.
Maybe an option for the Pirates. He missed some time with an injury midseason, which gives him a chance to get some innings here in September if they're willing to make that call with him. And he's, outside of Giolito and Julio Urias, Glasnow is probably the best pitching prospect of baseball.
Between Baez, Cubs shortstop, and Hector Olivera, Braves second baseman. Are either of these guys going to be regular September players?
Well, that's the thing. I think Olivera would be at the top of my list because he's the only one I trust to get everyday at-bats. Baez could easily work his way in there, but if the Cubs really wanted him playing every day, why wouldn't he be up already and playing every day, you know?
Yeah. Well, he was on the DL, right? Minor league DL?
No, he's been off for a while now.
Okay.
I think, unless there was a different injury.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Hopefully he comes up tomorrow. The big news for everybody, George Springer's on a rehab assignment. Alex Gordon close to a return. Justin Morneau could be back soon. What does this mean for the Rockies?
I would think that would be at least slightly bad news for Ben Paulson. I would think that maybe there'd be a timeshare arrangement there, and I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen anything about that. But if I'm a Paulson owner, I'm looking into that.
Carlos Rodon may have an innings limit. Let's do some starter sit. Carlos Correa, starter sit.
I'm probably leaning towards starting him. Maybe not in a points league because, you know, if it's playoff time, you can't afford to take any chances, but obviously your alternatives at shortstop aren't going to be very good.
They play tonight, the Astros, so you can see if Correa's in the lineup. He said he's very close. Hanley Ramirez, start or sit?
I would probably sit him.
Mark Teixeira, not going to play today at Boston. Start or sit?
Sit him?
Yeah, okay. Gene Machi's the Boston closer. I think we established that. Rougned Odor, he's got this finger injury. Thought he was going to be back on Friday. He hasn't played all weekend. Rougned Odor, start or sit?
I'd probably sit him, too. A lot of players to look at, you know, coming up on the lineup block. He'd be one of them.
Lance Lynn hurt his ankle. He thinks he's going to make his next start. Start or sit?
Right now, I'd say start.
Okay. Giancarlo Stanton could be back Friday. Matt Moore expected to make some September starts. Al talked about him on, I think, Thursday's show, maybe Friday's show. Doing a lot better in the minors. And maybe you can sneak him in there, Matt Moore. And Glenn Perkins is going to be eased back into the closer's role for Minnesota. And Ketel Marte is day-to-day with a hamstring injury. And FanDuel is going to be fun tonight. David Price tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, Price is right. First guy to ever say that one. Anyway, we'll help you set your lineup later on in today's show. And also today on Daily Fantasy Live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. But FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy baseball. You're going to get the most money there. They pay out more than any other daily fantasy site. So go to FanDuel.com. Use our offer code CBSPOD, P-O-D, CBSPOD, for every dollar you deposit. FanDuel's going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. Click on that microphone in the upper right-hand corner. And if your league is not going as you planned, if you're not in the playoffs right now, if you're out of your Roto League, you still want to play some competitive fantasy baseball, why not try daily fantasy? Why not try FanDuel? I promise you'll be hooked. So go there now. Weekend standouts. I kind of covered a lot of guys, some of those pitchers, Fires, Iglesias, Holland. How about Joe Kelly, 32% owned? Any interest in him? He has had a pretty nice run here of four starts. 1.35 ERA, getting a lot of ground balls. He says he's throwing his off-speed pitches more. Joseph Kelly, your thoughts?
I mean, he's definitely been better. I just don't think the ceiling is high enough. The strikeouts we saw at the beginning of the season haven't been there during this stretch, and that's more in line with his prior track record when he was fringy at best in fantasy. So I think he's back to being that.
He is not going to win the Cy Young this way.
No, he's not.
No.
Despite his predictions.
Probably not. Anyone else? Any other big standouts from the weekend?
Well, and Scott, I don't know if I'm stealing your thunder here. I'm happy to share the thunder because you talked about Nick Castellano, who you pronounced that way.
According to Baseball Reference.
According to Baseball Reference, yes.
There's no S on the end.
I was going to go
Castellanos. There is an S on the end, but you don't say it.
Yeah. So
I love Baseball Reference, but I'm not sure I trust them for pronunciations all the time.
Well, here's the thing, because the conflict comes between them and the Tigers broadcast, where I'm pretty certain they've been pronouncing the S.
They always do. Or at least they had been.
And they seem to get a good number of pronunciations wrong. So I think I'd side with Baseball Reference.
Even their own team they get wrong?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of an example. I mean, the one that I remember, a former Tiger, Devin Travis, who early on in the season they were calling Devon.
Mm. Okay.
Anyhow. Castellano, 3-for-4 on Sunday against, the Blue Jays. But that's not really, that was more of a reminder than, you know, a signal of something big happening. It's just, he's been hitting with a lot of power for about 2 months now. And over his last 47 games, a respectable .273 average, but 11 home runs over that span. So, you know, roughly, a little more than a fourth of a season's worth of games, 11 home runs. And that's, you know, for a player like him who has shown the potential in the minors to be a power hitting third baseman, but we just haven't really seen it. That's pretty encouraging.
If we look at the short term picture, though, the splits are something to keep in mind, because against left-handers, 364 with a 1014 OPS, against right-handers, 216 with a 641 OPS. And the Tigers have a righty-heavy week this week, and not good matchups either. So I don't know that I'd want him for this week specifically, though, I mean, obviously it's encouraging as far as his development goes that he has been on this nice power tear.
Sharing the Thunder.
There you
go. Sharing the Thunder, that's right.
Good cooperation. Anyway, now, Scott, you can have your own Thunder here.
My own Thunder.
Any standouts for you?
I mean, there were a lot of standouts.
There were a lot of games. 45
of them. Trying to pick the best one from all the list from all the 3 days. How about Aaron Nola? We haven't talked about him yet.
Go for it.
He had a 7-inning gem, following up an 8-inning gem, 1 earned run and 5 hits between the 2 starts, and seems to be. You know, I expected less than this. Not that I didn't think he'd be good right away. Just I didn't think he really had the ability to be this good. But the control has been as advertised. The strikeouts aren't that impressive, but he just looks like he has the arsenal to become more of a strikeout pitcher over time. And more than anything, it's just the polish, the ability to pitch that deep into games consistently. And you know, the fact he's 5-1 in 8 starts for the Phillies, some of that's luck, of course, but some of it's his own ability to last that long. And even though he's a rookie, the innings limit, their MLB.com beat writer Todd Zalecki said it was 185, so that gives him about 4 starts in September. So I think you can count on him being a semi-regular part of your staff down the stretch.
I heard an interesting stat. So here's what happened. I was flipping on Friday night around to different games, including preseason football. And I flipped to the Phillies game, and I caught the end of the sideline report. But I think what the guy said, at least going into the game on Friday, was that Aaron Nola had not given up one extra base hit on his curveball all season long. Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Now, he could have said something completely different, but I feel pretty confident. I feel pretty confident that that's what he said.
I'll confirm that.
Yeah. Go for it. I figured that you would have some type of way to do that using the internet.
Yes. The Brooks baseball internet.
Aaron Nola, I just want to find his matchup for the week. You didn't say his matchup for the week, did you?
No, I didn't.
So it's at the Mets if they're on a 5-man rotation, and at Boston if they're skipping him or moving him back at all. I don't know if we know that.
Well, you're going to be more likely to start him in a roto than a points league, I think, because it's easier to fit a 2-start guy instead in a points league. Because, you know, if he has a bad start, there's less downside to it, as we've mentioned a few times.
Yeah. Okay.
He being the nondescript 2-star pitcher, not Nola.
right. Kyle Seager's homered 4 times in his last 5 games. I got a group of outfielders. Tell me what you think about them. They're all owned.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Can I just go back to the Nola thing real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, so that is correct.
How about that?
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. Group of outfielders owned in, let's say, between like 38 and 50% of leagues that are doing well. Jason Wirth, 2 home runs, .333 batting average in his last 4 games. Marcell Ozuna, just .237, but a nice slugging percentage with 3 homers and 5 doubles since being recalled. Marlon Byrd, 5 for 16 with two home runs in his last four games. Michael Kadire, unfortunately only hitting against lefties, but hitting the crap out of them. he's got about 1,000 OPS since coming off the DL in about a month. So I said Worth, Ozuna, Bird, and Kadire. Do you want any of those guys?
Of those, I mean, not urgently, but I'd say Ozuna the most. That's, you know, four games for Worth. It's not that long. That's up
it,
against.
It actually goes back further than that. He's been hitting well since the Colorado series, which I have as. Oh man, I don't have it handy here. I have it going back 12 games. 292 okay. with a 955 OPS, 8 walks to 9 strikeouts. I'm back on board with Worth. I think he has the most upside of this group. Sorry to interrupt you.
Well, that was important. No, it was, because I would agree that if he's showing any sort of signs of hitting for power, that he does have the most upside in the group. But I'm certainly wanting to pick up Ozuna, and I already did in a 3 outfielder league, even though I'm not starting him there yet. And then Bird, I just have no explanation for why he is hitting as well, because those have been a lot of home games, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, they were at home all last week.
Yeah. So I'm not really buying it.
Actually, we got an email about Marlon Bird that I will read right now, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Good points made here because, you know, you got Pagan and Aoki and all these guys getting back in the mix. So okay. Dave Anderson from Seattle says, with the impending returns of Pagan and Pence, I don't know what Pence's status is, by the way. Where does this leave Marlon Bird? Please don't say bench bat.
Well, I think that, you know, it could be. It could be. And Scott, I know you've been tracking the Pence thing.
Yeah. Well, when they first put him on, I think they expected the minimum 15 days. So I don't know that there's been an update since then, but I would assume that still applies. So he's very close to returning.
All right. So do you think Bird is a bench bat?
Well, where else?
I mean, when they got him, that was my assumption. Yeah. When Pence came back, that he wouldn't be playing most days.
I'm having trouble remembering their outfield. So who's in the other corner?
Aoki, Pagan, Belt. Belt plays in the outfield sometimes.
Yeah, I think he'd have to be because I don't think they'd want either Aoki or Bird himself in that patrolling that big center field.
Yeah. All right, then. And how about Byron Buxton? Are you guys done with him? He's 61% owned.
Pretty much. I don't think I've dropped him in any leagues, but haven't gotten back to playing him.
Yeah, Buxton.
Yeah.
He's been terrible. Yeah,
I'd want to have him on my bench anywhere I felt like I could afford to.
Well, Buxton is batting .210 with 3 walks and 31 strikeouts in 21 games and only 1 steal in 3 attempts.
Yeah. It's been bad, but yeah. He's so much upside. Like, if he just suddenly busts out, I don't think anybody'd be surprised.
I know another guy Scott White added. He's the most added player in CBSSports.com leagues. He's Stephen Piscotty, 67% owned.
Yeah, he, to me, definitely was a weekend standout because he just gets hotter and hotter. And now over his last 14 games, batting .375 with a .768 slugging. So it's not just the batting average that he's providing, and he's doing it now over the long haul.
You feel okay starting Stephen Piscotty this week?
Yeah, that's why I added him. I forget which league it was.
It was Memorial.
Okay, so that's a Roto league, which a 5 outfielder league would be an easy call, but I've been starting him in some 3 outfielder leagues too, depending on who the alternatives are. I think in one of those leagues, I finally gave up on Josh Reddick since he's not playing every day. Another league, Jay Bruce has been in the slump, so I'm finally gonna replace him with Piscotty. But so it's not like if I had 3 great outfielders, I'm not going to force Piscotty in. But if I have a need there, he seems like the best option on waivers to fill it.
Works for me. Next up on the most added list after Stephen Piscotty, we have Tom Wilhelmsen. If you need saves, would you guys rather have Wilhelmsen or Machi?
I'd rather Wilhelmsen.
Anybody but Machi.
Wilmer Flores is number 3. Chris Medlin 4. Bartolo Colon 5. it's just really interesting. He's got the Marlins and the Phillies this week, Cologne, not in that order. So much on the line.
It's like, it's a huge roll of the dice.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to feel really bad about your chances just going roster against roster to pick up Cologne and start him this week. And I know there's a situation like in our podcast league, the guy facing Al.
Yes.
Al has such a big lead. It's a special situation because we do 2 week scoring periods in the podcast league, and you still get to set your lineup in between. The guy trails Al by so much that he put Cologne in his lineup. And I think it makes sense in that situation because you obviously need to aim for as much as you can possibly get, but it could backfire in a big way even with those matchups.
Yeah, by the way, 2 week playoffs, totally the way to go.
Yeah.
Totally the way to go. Eduardo Escobar. So Escobar and Flores are both on the most added list. Is Flores clearly better?
Yes, he is.
Brett Anderson's got two starts. That's a little less risky than Cologne.
Yep. I like Anderson.
Joe Ross, do we know anything more? Is he definitely going to make his two starts this week?
Last I saw, I didn't, follow up on the weekend, but as of late on Friday, most recent thing I saw was that Nationals, they have an innings limit on Ross, but it's not like a specific number of innings or pitches. It's just, you know, how is he feeling after each start? So, he's going to start tomorrow, at St. Louis, but whether or not he gets that second start on Sunday against the Braves, we probably won't know till Wednesday or Thursday, I would think.
Joe Kelly's after Joe Ross. Jared Eichhoff, 16% owned, two starts this week. Good luck.
It's just a funny sounding name.
Yeah. Eichhoff is Finkel.
Yeah.
Finkel is Eichhoff.
Oh, man. If he were only more fantasy relevant, that's a great team name.
Next year.
Yeah. and I was doing a fantasy football draft last night. I couldn't come up with a good team name. So I went so old school that I think it still might be funny because, like, it's so, why would anyone use it? But I used, do not go in there. And I capitalized not from Ace Ventura. And I used the image of him popping water out of his shirt pocket from that scene. If you remember that scene?
Of course.
And I don't know. Like, it's so random that it might be funny.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd see that and I would chuckle.
Okay. Good. Good. I appreciate that. We got Francisco Lindor. Would you rather have Lindor or Wilmer Flores?
Whew.
Depended on what I needed. In a points league, I think I'd go Lindor.
And if you need steals, you'd probably go Lindor too, even though he's not very efficient.
Well, batting average, I was thinking more. But, I mean, Wilmer Flores is going to hit home runs.
Yeah.
More home runs, I think it's safe to say.
And the last guy. Oh, go ahead, Al. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to second that. I think the only situation probably where you do start Flores is in a Roto league. Where you need power.
The last guy on the list that I wanted to talk about is Josh Tomlin, who's 18% owned and pitching pretty well. What do you think about Tomlin?
I actually think he's over-owned, which I know sounds really mean for guys not even 20% owned, but there's just so much implosion potential there. He's, you know, he had a great start this weekend, but he's the same guy who is extremely fly ball prone. That is just going to kill you sooner or later.
Yeah, it's basically gone the way we said it would with Tomlin. It's just when he avoids the home runs, he can be this good, but it's not going to happen very often.
He is at Detroit this week, so that's not the most appetizing matchup.
Ew.
Yeah. I don't really see anyone on the most drop list that's too shocking. A lot of injured guys, a lot of guys who were two-star pitchers last week. One guy, though, Travis Shaw, is on the most drop list. He's down to 38% owned from 44%. And also Yasmani Grandal is down to 86% from 91%.
How about Cesar Hernandez down from 59 to 52?
That's a good one.
I don't think that that one was necessarily one I saw coming.
I get him and Udubo Herrera confused. Which one just had the four-hit game? I think that was Herrera.
That was Herrera.
Yeah. Yeah, Hernandez has been ice cold. And it seems like every other day on the podcast we're talking about, oh, he's a good option if you need a shortstop between Lindor, Ketel Marte.
Struble. We talked about,
Suarez has been under-owned all this time. Jung Ho Kang, we even talked about last week, is being under-owned. So I think maybe Hernandez, unless he specifically needs steals, he's kind of gotten squeezed out.
So how about we go through the rest of the pitchers and see how you guys feel? Well, first of all, here are some more news and notes for you. Everybody enjoy this. Clay Buchholz out for the year. Michael Franco optimistic about
You're
returning.
Supposed to enjoy that?
Yeah, sorry, that was a bad one to be leading off. Michael Franco hoping to return this year. He's optimistic. Mike Zunino sent to AAA. Denard Span out for the year. Jason Castro's on the DL. Hank Conger is going to be their regular starter. Marcus Stroman could make some spot starts in September for the Blue Jays. AJ Burnett hoping to be back in mid-September. Ben Revere led off for the Blue Jays on Sunday. That would be nice for him since he's been hitting toward the back of the order. They moved Troy Tulowitzki to fifth. Tulo, by the way, only hitting .227 as a Blue Jay. David Freese should be back tomorrow. Christian Yelich pinch hit, as I mentioned. Michael Lorenzen starting today. The Reds recalled him, and they sent David Holmberg to AAA. Hey, Yolish Yacin is being sent to the minors, but only briefly. How about him? How about Yacin in deep leagues? You like him?
I did add him in a couple deep leagues, a 2014 mixed and a 12-team NL only. It'll be interesting to see what he does outside of Colorado because, I mean, there's just no comparison for pitching in that park. And he actually had at least one decent season there, I think a couple, before eventually going the way that all Rockies pitchers go. So maybe he could surprise in Arizona.
And Joe Panik will be back soon for the Giants. Kelby Tomlinson, does he keep a role or no?
I would think utility, if that.
Okie dokie. Some deep league hitters. Domingo Santana, all he does is homer. That's it. He's like Wilmer Flores, I guess. Lonnie Chisenhall, 27 games since being recalled. Oh, wait, did we talk about him?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, we talked about Castellanos. Chisenhall, 397 with two home runs in 27 games since being recalled. He's 8% owned. And the other infielder turned outfielder for the surging Cleveland Indians, who are still somehow relevant, Abraham Almonte has been hitting pretty well. Got an .862 OPS with the Indians.
I don't think we think he was an infielder ever.
Abraham Almonte wasn't?
Is that what you were?
Yeah.
I think you got
him confused with... now I can't think of
Abraham name. Nunez? No, he was an outfielder too.
Oh, I thought Almonte played some infields.
Who plays shortstop?
Oh.
Alexi Amarista?
Amarista.
Yes. Did you confuse him with Alexi Amarista?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably confused
They're all
him.
Like Adam Azer, double A.
This time of year, I probably confused him with some like third string tight end that I saw in the Jaguars game, knowing me. But anyway, with Domingo Santana, Chisenhall, and Abraham Almonte, they're all very, very available. Do you want any of them?
Chisenhall is the one that I would maybe give some consideration to in a deep mixed league, as opposed to just league only. But that's unfair because I actually do own Almonte in a 15-team mixed. But probably this week he'll go to the bench and I'll probably start Springer. So he's just been kind of filling in. And I was hoping maybe he'd give me a boost in OBP OBP, and stolen bases. And he's not really done a lot in those categories.
Here's a segment called Adam Finally Finishes His Thought from 25 minutes ago. Clayton Kershaw has a .95 ERA in his last 11 starts. Just letting you know. Pitchers now. Tell me if you trust these guys. Masahiro Tanaka at Boston. Unless they insert someone in the rotation, then he faces Tampa Bay.
I don't know that the matchup really makes a difference for me. So, no, I trust him and start him this week.
Trevor Bauer. I'm not sure who he's facing because he took it's probably the Blue Jays since he pitched Friday. He took Salazar's spot in the rotation because Salazar got sick. But we're not starting Bauer if he's facing the Blue Jays, right?
No way.
No. Probably not starting him anyway.
Taiwan Walker at Houston.
I would start him. I did get a question this morning, him versus Holland, and if that's the last spot in the rotation, I actually would rather go Holland just to give an idea of where I'd put the cutoff. But I probably would be starting him in most leagues.
Alex Wood at San Diego.
I'm pretty comfortable, unless it's a SPARP situation, just cutting Wood at this point. Even though he opposed Arrieta in that no-hitter, and it was actually his best start as a Dodger, it was one of those starts, those kind of good starts that used to get us excited back when we thought he was still going to bounce back in a big way. I'm over it now.
Okay. How about Mike Leake? If he's at Colorado, no, but I think he's facing the Dodgers.
Either way, he's on the road, so I'm sitting Leake.
But even at the Dodgers, I mean, they can't hit. They've got no hit twice in 10 days.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure that I trust that to last, for very long. It's a potential be a pretty loaded lineup.
Yeah, but isn't that a big park? I mean, wouldn't a guy like Mike Leake be good there?
No, it's not really a great pitcher's park.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about Luis Severino? Got a 2.17 ERA, strikeout per inning. He's been walking a lot of guys lately, but facing Tampa Bay this week, only 54% started. You got to start Severino, right?
I think so, yeah.
He's been good. All right, studs being duds. Francisco Liriano. He's just like kind of eh.
Yeah, he has been for a while now. I don't think he's must start.
Okay, yeah. So, like, would you start a two-start Kyle Hendricks over a one-start Liriano?
In a points league, I could do that. Probably not in Roto.
How about Jake Odorizzi at the Yankees?
Yeah. I still don't really trust him in the tough ballparks, so I'd sit Odorizzi this week.
Noah Syndergaard at Miami.
He's a must-start to me still. I know it's been kind of shaky recently. 9 home runs in his last 6 starts. Only 1 quality start in his last 5. But I think he established himself enough before this stretch that in a big park against a light-hitting team, I'm still going with him.
And Hisashi Iwakuma, kind of rough the last 2 times out. He's at Oakland this week.
Yeah, well, that's a very good matchup, and I'm not quite to the point of being that worried about Iwakuma anyway.
And we're starting John Lester, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I just, with Lester, you're going to start him, but do you think maybe the fact that they stole 4 bases against him. Like, the fact that he's in the National League and they're running all over him, I don't know why they weren't doing it in the American League, but, like, is that a big concern, just his overall value?
Not a big concern. I mean, maybe a very minor one, and it's something that you definitely are paying attention to in terms of the hitters that he's opposing and, whether or not you could help yourself in steals, whether you're talking about a weekly format or daily fantasy. But like you said, I mean, he's had the problem with throwing to bases for a couple years at least now.
And it everybody made such a big deal of it on opening day, and look how much he turned his season around.
Yeah, but at the end of the day,
he answered the question.
He has. But I mean, he's got a 3.59 ERA, so I'm just wondering if.
Right, I think it's just because 2 of his last 3 starts are bad. Before those 3 starts, he had a very good ERA.
He was on a really good run, long-term run.
Here's some more highly owned guys who struggled this week. Jaime Garcia. Start him against Pittsburgh?
Yep.
Jose Quintana. I'm a little disappointed with him now.
He's been underwhelming. He hasn't been bad. Like, I don't think he's going to hurt you too much if you start him, but he's not the priority he was earlier in the year.
I think he's droppable. Not like a must drop, but
Iglesias? To make room and if you're facing elimination and that's your best chance to pick up Derek Holland, let's say.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Nate Eovaldi, Tampa Bay this week at home.
I feel like he's gotten a little overhyped recently.
Definitely.
His 2 starts before this one at Atlanta were good, but not a lot of good before that.
But he always wins. He's 14-2.
Well, somehow he still won this start.
He's just not a one start guy to me. I actually think he has gotten a lot better. Maybe I'm a part of the overhyping of Nate Eovaldi, but I wouldn't hype him to the point of saying that you gotta use him in a one start week.
How about Jason Hamill against Cincinnati?
No. Hasn't bounced back enough, and I think his last start wasn't so hot anyway.
And Julio Teheran.
Hume is more borderline. I'm sorry.
Yeah, more borderline? Okay. Julio Teheran, this is a bad start at home, a terrible start.
That's why Evaldi got the win.
Yeah.
Because Teheran was just a disaster after having a 3.30 ERA in his previous 10 starts. And this one was at home where he for some reason, the splits favor him so much.
Could have just been a bad day at the office.
That was a football score, that game.
Yeah.
What did you say, Adam?
It could have just been a bad day. I mean, I was watching. He couldn't locate anything.
That's kind of how I'm feeling. I wouldn't be opposed to sitting him to get an extra two-star pitcher in a points league, but I don't think you have to sit him.
Teheran, okay, he's at Washington this week.
Yeah.
All right, too many guys to go through start and sit for everyone. So we're looking at guys who are 65 to 79% owned. Who do you want to own rest of the season? Andrew Heaney, Lance McCullers, Taylor Youngman, Ian Kennedy, Mike Fires, and Aaron Nola.
All of them.
All right.
How many do you want
but
me to
you
pick?
Can't.
Pick your favorite two.
My favorite two?
For me, actually, I'm narrowing it down to Fires, Haney, and McCullers. I think probably McCullers over Heaney because I think there's greater upside there. So, yeah, Fires and McCullers.
I'll go Fires and Youngman.
Okay. How about 50 to 64% owned? R.A. Dickey, Kevin Gausman, Derek Holland, Drew Hutchison, Chris Medlin.
None of them. No, that's not true.
Yeah.
Holland and Medlin are priorities. I would also like to own Gausman. I don't care to own Dickey or Hutchison.
Same as Scott, except I am fine with owning R.A. Dickey, but not starting him the one start week.
R.A. Dickey has Cleveland this week at home. We got 30 to 49% owned. Matt Latos. Irvin Santana, of course.
He had a big start, 10 strikeouts.
And now he gets to face that same team again, Houston. Jay Happ and Joe Kelly.
Well, Santana's the only one I would have any interest in. And I do think he's probably a little under-owned now at 44%. And obviously he was on an awful stretch there before this last start, but that's just kind of who he is. And when he is good, he's really good. And
I don't trust any of them. it would just be, classic Santana for him to face the exact same team and for him to go 3 1/3 with 7 runs allowed.
I wouldn't want to start him, but I would rather own him than like Drew Hutchison.
Two other pitchers are facing the exact same team and coming off good starts. Willie Peralta will be at Cincinnati this week, and John Lamb will be home against Milwaukee this week. And these are more deep league targets, but Peralta and Lamb.
I wanted to talk about Lamb.
Go for it.
Because this was finally the start that validated what we were seeing in his previous starts, where he kept giving up runs, but a lot of strikeouts, few walks. He's up to 29 strikeouts in 22 1/3 innings now. I think he's... Yeah, there's so many pitchers we just mentioned that I don't know that you really have to go after him in a mixed league, but I would not be surprised at all if he ends up being a useful mixed league option down the stretch. And if you're really hard-pressed for pitching for some reason, he would be a priority add, I feel like.
Well, he would have to do a Raisel Iglesias and somehow become a very good ground ball pitcher. It's just a shame that Lamb's not still with the Royals or with a team that could give him a better home venue, because I don't think he's pitched in a venue yet that's been really helpful to him. And I think he's always going to fall a little short of what we want from him, pitching in the smaller parks.
All right, that's John Lamb. Get to FanDuel in a little bit. Here's some emails. Oh, well, closers first. Drew Pomeranz, is he the A's closer?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess.
He got a save on Saturday, blew a save on Sunday. Yeah. And email.
He has the last three saves.
Does he? I thought someone snuck in there. Okay.
I'm not sure. I think so.
No, I think you're probably right. Chris in London, Ontario has an email. It says, Dear Steve, Nicholas, and Henrik, and those are hockey, that's a hockey reference, so lost on us, but this is kind of random. He said, I thought you guys might get a kick out of the innings pitch stat for Pud Galvin. 656 innings, I think we've become a society of coddlers. Back in the 1880s, we were men. And so
I think it's fair to say that men were more men in the 1880s than they are now. Yes.
Yes. He played for the Bisons and he threw 593 innings in 1879. Followed that up with 458, 474, 445, and 656 in 1883, 636 and a third in 1884.
But you know, the Bisons really had no bullpen. So.
I wonder how they did. He was a pretty good pitcher, Bud Galvin. I'd never heard of him. Corey from Ottawa has a real question. Final weeks of the season, I'm looking to gain ground in ERA and whip and possibly saves. I need to drop some of my starters. Who are some relief pitchers in the Wade Davis, Dylan Betances mold that I could pick up for ERA and whip?
You know who might be helpful because he's been really great since becoming a closer is Trevor May.
Since becoming a reliever.
Since becoming a reliever.
Yeah.
That is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think he's, kind of entering that territory as a reliever.
I don't know if Kevin Segrist is owned. It's a 10-team league, but.
That's another, yeah, be another good one.
Definitely one. This is probably too deep, but I didn't realize how well, Addison Reed was pitching.
I didn't either, and I should have because he was obviously in the news this weekend.
Yeah, well, that's how I was like, oh, I didn't realize he was pitching that well.
Harris for the Astros.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just got to be the easiest thing to find.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
So,
in a 10-team league especially. Tony Watson's always up there.
Jeremy from Ohio took a loss this past week because I refused to take Hanley out of my lineup. This week, should I sub him out for Ian Desmond?
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Also, I have Schwarber and Gattis, and I feel they're only startable at catcher in a three outfielder league. Would you start both this week and start my hopefully returning Springer over one of the, or start Springer over one of the two? So basically, choose two out of three: Schwarber, Gattis, Springer.
I'm going Schwarber, Gattis. If it's, you know, it's, yeah, it is a three outfielder league. So I mean, I talked about starting Springer, but that was a deeper five outfielder league. I wouldn't start Springer in a shallower league.
Dave Anderson from Seattle. Oh, we read this one. This is the bird one. Here's John then. Head-to-head points league. Who do I start? Jordan Zimmermann against Atlanta or Taiwan Walker at Houston?
I
must win.
I think I'm going to go Zimmermann there. It just seems safer to me.
Me too.
And then here's a loaded question. Also, just curious, started listening to the football podcast. Was pleasantly surprised to find that you guys are all on that as well. Well, that's not 100% true, but was wondering which fantasy sport out of all of them do you enjoy playing the most?
I think it's pretty obvious I'm going to say baseball.
I was going curling.
It's obvious that you guys would say baseball.
Yes.
But I enjoy football too. I think there's a little more randomness to football, so I don't feel like I control my destiny as much. And that's a little frustrating, but at the same time, I mean, it's obviously that rush on Sunday afternoons watching, you know, knowing everything that's happening right then is going to affect the outcome all at once is pretty fun.
And I think I am officially, and I'll say it on the baseball podcast, the football podcast, I don't even care. I think I am officially a fantasy baseball guy.
Wow.
I certainly enjoy both, but if I had to choose one, I think I'd go with fantasy baseball. Because if you put the work in, you'll win. You know, or you'll do well. Football, I don't feel that way. Football, like Scott said, I get very frustrated with the randomness of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, from Brent. Dear Bernie, Paul, and Chuck. Yankees.
I don't know who that is.
Those would be Yankees.
Oh, yes, I do. That was a Yankees outfield in 1998 or something, right?
Well, Knobloch.
Earlier than that, yeah.
Knobloch, did he play outfield? Obviously played second base, and then he had the
yips. Yeah, because he couldn't throw at second
base. They moved him to outfield?
Left field.
Right. All right, start one of these two. Steven Strasburg or Raisel Iglesias?
Right now, Iglesias.
Strictly a health thing.
Strictly a health thing, yeah. By the way, only one of those three outfielders that you mentioned has flown on a commercial plane with Scott and me.
Yes. And ooh, another one has one followed me on Twitter for a brief period of time, but then cut me loose.
That was Knobloch, right?
That was Knobloch.
Well, who flew on the plane with you?
Paul O'Neill.
Oh. Sorry, I forgot that.
He was... Yeah, he was headed there for the softball game, I think.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah, celebrity,
that's right. Yeah. Well, Johnny Peralta is $2,200, and that's the only way I can make this lineup work. Let's talk FanDuel. Watch Daily Fantasy Live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Mike Trout is $4,000.
Wowza.
Facing Felix Dubront.
I didn't go Trout, but I did go Pools.
I need to get
one of those guys in the lineup.
Would you rather have David Peralta or Ender Inciarte or Mike Trout with Peralta and Inciarte at Colorado?
So I can choose any Arizona guys together, you're saying, or
no,
Trout?
No. They're all about the same price.
Oh, they're all the same price.
Right about there.
No, I'm going Trout.
Mike Trout. How about that? He had like a double and a triple in one of the games over the weekend.
Yeah,
I don't know,
yeah,
maybe he's coming out of it. So apparently he insists that the wrist is not an injury. Obviously we know that athletes lie. Or the wrist is not an issue, I meant to say.
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe that either, but
he has been much better lately. Hasn't hit a home run in a while, but a couple doubles, couple triples in his last 11 games, batting .343.
Anyway, let's set a lineup. Who's your pitcher tonight?
David Price for me.
Me too.
Me three.
Well, it's not a slam dunk, even though we're unanimous, because there's also Chris Archer, who's only 500 more and is great. And he faces the weaker pitcher in Wei-Yin Chen. Price is going against Danny Salazar.
Yeah, and I gave some thought to Dallas Keuchel against the Mariners too.
I feel like the Blue Jays lineup is so hot, and one of Salazar's problems is he gives up home runs, that I just think I'd hate to not start Price. And obviously he's been awesome with the Blue Jays, but he's going to get so much support even against a good pitcher, I feel like, that it's pretty, I feel pretty confident penciling him in for a win.
Were there any hitters that you just loved today?
That just what?
Loved. L-U-V'd.
I had to get Chris Bryant into my lineup against, it's David Holmberg, correct?
Yes.
Bryant's not as expensive as I think he is.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, not Holmberg, the guy that's replacing
him. Oh, no, it's
him.
Lorenzen.
Lorenzen. So yeah. I wanted to get lefty Cubs in the lineup, but I did not get any other Cubs. Tried to get Coughlin in there, but with Price in there and then Bryant costing 37, I had to go pretty economical. And Pujols at 34, I had to get pretty economical with the rest of the roster.
And on that note, I have Dexter Fowler at 3,100. He's a switch hitter, so he'll be batting lefty against Michael Lorenzen, and lefties have an OPS over 1,000 against Lorenzen. Ellsbury is hitting very well. He's 4-for-7 with 2 home runs against Eduardo Rodriguez, and he is also $3,100.
Lefty on lefty.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Rodriguez has had a couple of good starts against the Yankees, but yeah. I like the way Ellsbury's hitting right now. He is so streaky, and when he's going right, $3,100 is pretty cheap for him. Here's a sneaky one. Logan Forsyth. 978 OPS against lefties. He's facing Wei-Yin Chen. He's 7-for-22 with 3 home runs against Wei-Yin Chen. And Forsyth is $3,200, which isn't cheap, but it's not that bad.
Yeah. No, I at second base, I wound up going with Cesar Hernandez again, just for the value at $2,600.
Me too, Al.
As we talked about earlier, you know, he's cold, but... You know, you went with Johnny Peralta, so at some point you just have to hope that, you know, somebody snaps out of it.
Yeah.
I've got Josh Fegley against Hector Santiago at 2,700. So I like Fegley against lefties. Let's see. Nick Ahmed is my only Diamondback that I've got in the lineup, but I figure I need to have one, and he's pretty cheap at 2,900. And Curtis Granderson at 3,500. Against, I'm trying to remember now who pitches for the Phillies tonight.
Eichhoff.
Eichhoff, yeah. So, fly ball pitcher. I think Granderson could take him yard.
I actually have 4 guys that are fairly cheap and need to bounce back. Yasmani Grandal at 2,400. Cesar Hernandez, 2,600. Todd Frazier, 2,600 against Kyle Hendricks. and Johnny Peralta at 2,200. And then if you want to count Mike Trout at 4,000, he needs to bounce back too. I also like Freddie Freeman against Chris Narvison at 3,400.
Same Braves, price as Pujols, yeah.
Braves could have a nice day. Oh, same price as Pujols? That's interesting.
Yep. And I had to get a $2,200 outfielder, and boy, the choices, well, as they should be for a $2,200 outfielder, were pretty rough. I settled on Ichiro Suzuki, who's actually having a pretty decent month. So in a cash game where I privilege OBP over slugging, I went Ichiro over the likes of Jake Marisnik and Cody Yash. I'm trying to think who else, but Dominic Brown.
You could go with Johnny Peralta for 2,200 and then have a more expensive outfielder.
Yep, that's true, but then I'd have to sacrifice Nick Ahmed at Coors Field. So.
I don't have one Diamondback. That feels crazy to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it would be nice to have multiple Diamondbacks, multiple Cubs, multiple Phillies, but I just had to spread the wealth.
All right, so you can go Nick Ahmed and Ichiro, or you can go Johnny Peralta and Christian Yelich, Cole Calhoun, probably not against a lefty.
Nope.
Billy Burns, Ben Revere, who's probably going to lead off. Carlos Gomez, 2,800. Could do that.
Yeah. No, yeah. There's time.
Could do it. Give it a shot. All right, Scott, you haven't spoken. I'm guessing that means you haven't made your lineup.
I have not made my lineup. I narrowed the pitcher down to David Price, but beyond that.
Well, he will. I don't know if you're on the show today, but let's just, for the sake of the segue, say he will for the 4 p.m. show.
Okay.
Whoever's on it, 4 p.m. Eastern time, watch Daily Fantasy Live. Scott White, Al Melchior, thank you guys.
Thank you, Adam.
Scott, nothing?
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah,
I also
no,
thank you.
Whatever.
I was speaking for both of us.
I'm over it. Back tomorrow. See you later.